Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight for a chill show. Not much happening. A couple of updates on stories we've been following. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? New guy says, well, they will sue him if he does. Great opportunity to drain their coffers. Yes, we're talking about a lawsuit between Elon Musk and the ADL. I like to dream about it, but at the same time, let's be frank, Elon has been putting things out there sometimes, and sometimes they've been realized, sometimes he didn't care about realizing them, but Elon is literally putting it on his Twitter account that there could be a lawsuit against the ADL for ruining Twitter's reputation, calling them anti-Semitic, and pressuring advertisers not to engage with the platform, which Elon says the damages could be numbered in the $22 billion order of magnitude. That would be that would be a beautiful thing to see, even if symbolic. I'm sure that the ADL is hiding its money in a way that U.S. court would have great problems draining it from them. And I'm sure that they have enough contacts within the networks of power, of judges, the legal sector, that they couldn't mess with the process itself, I think. But it's a very interesting case, because I will say that to Elon. It could be very hard to do what you're talking about 10 years ago. But with the Supreme Court justices that have openly speculated about, hey, perhaps it's time to review defamation laws, perhaps it's time to not give full protection when talking about public personalities, because the current state of the law is unsustainable in the US. It's like, oh yeah, if it's a public person, then basically anything you say about them, you have to find the standard of actual malice, which is a very subjectively defined standard, and it's a standard by which you have to demonstrate and prove that the person was lying and knew they were lying. It's kind of nonsense to demand this level of demonstration in a civil lawsuit. So the Supreme Court, Elon, is actually open to take your side, to extend the current protections that are offered to public speakers that are talking about other public speakers. So you may be at the best moment ever in the history of the U.S. to win a $22 billion lawsuit against the ADL. We have an update on the situation at Burning Man. And I like it because it totally confirms what I was saying yesterday. I was saying yesterday that they like being there. They like being stuck there. And, you know, we learned today from the people going out of there that basically the people who are staying there, they're choosing to stay there. They have a little radio that tells them to stay there. But actually, the gates are opened and they can leave. And in fact, those people who choose to leave end up being insulted by those who choose to stay. Like, oh, you're not into it. You're not into our little party here. So here's a full demonstration of my theory of yesterday, that they're not stuck there. They're enjoying this situation very much.
Stuck at Burning Man because the radio said we weren't allowed to leave. The radio at Burning Man said that the gate was closed and that you couldn't drive in the playa.
Gate is currently closed due to rain. Please do not operate your vehicle on wet roads, as this will damage the entire surface of the playa and make.
Of course, the woman with the pink hair is the one informing us about all this.
Conditions worse.
It wasn't until my cousin texted me, yes, because I had one bar and her SMS text went through. She told me that CNN had reported that people were able to leave and were on their way home. So we decided to kick in our four-wheel drive and leave. Of course, as we did, we ended up getting heckled on the way out.
Yeah, what are you doing?
We're both having babies.
See, someone sees them leaving the place. What are you doing? Well, they're leaving the place because there's too much mud, and they turn out that they have a four-wheel drive, so they can drive to some extent in the mud.
Oh, by the way, I heard that there's 6 trucks on Gate Road, axle deep in mud. Have fun.
Why would you be so frustrated to see someone exit from a place they don't want to be in? So you're frustrated because you wanted to continue the party there, because you're one of these degenerates who actually enjoyed that there were people forced to be partying with you. They were forced to stay with you. And because they dissociate from your... Yes, a new guy says group think. Because they dissociate and they get something for themselves that makes you lose a sense that there is a community there that is all united. And suddenly you find yourself alone in the mud. That's what they are scared of. They're not scared of being in the mud. They like it. They're pigs. They're scared of being alone in the mud because a pig needs other pigs to reproduce. DK Shadow says they get to escape from Gomorrah. T.S. Apostola says she is jealous the millennials have a nicer truck than her. Maybe there was jealousy of the truck here. Anyways, only problems have emerged from this party, this burning of a deity, of a representation, of a sacrifice to a deity. I wouldn't do this in the next few years. Cremieux says, which university major is the smartest? Here are GRE verbal and quantitative scores by undergraduate major for 1.6 million people who took the test between 2015 and 2020. Physical science came out on top. Not very surprising. But what's interesting is he says, look at the tilt. Look at the tilt of this bar, because on the left, you have the point reporting verbal fluency. On the right, you have the point reporting the more mathematical, the quantitative part of the score of IQ. And so you can see those people who head toward physics, they have the highest score for quantitative IQ. But they have a lesser score on verbal IQ. People who are headed for the humanities, well, they have an overall lower score. The average between these 2 points is overall lower than that of physics. But importantly, their score for quantitative reasoning is extremely much lower. And their score for verbal IQ actually slightly surpassed that of the verbal IQ of physical sciences. Social sciences, I'm not surprised. It's pretty much the same pattern as humanities. Life sciences, slightly lower than the social sciences and the humanities. But, you know, when you talk about life sciences, there is a large umbrella here. There's the people who are headed for environmentalism. And, like, they don't have the kind of brain that I have in terms of thinking of the theory of evolution. They're really just, oh yeah, here are rivers and frogs, and oh yeah, cool. Here's a dissection of a rabbit, and so there's a large umbrella of different path that leads you to a biology class, and the type of brain that I have actually leads you more likely toward math or physics. But I was really fascinated about life sciences. But yeah, I did end up hanging out with classes that are relatively low IQ. And they come because they're fascinated by the plants and the rivers. But they're not truly interested in theoretical evolutionary perspectives. Business, not surprising. See, business, they are like the humanities and the social sciences. Roughly, lower than physics. But they have an inverted tilt. They have more of a quantitative mind than a verbal IQ. And people in education, not surprised, they're at the bottom of the chain. And on top of it, they don't have an ability for quantitative reasoning. I mean, this is low. This is a negative standard deviation. So it means that the people we dedicate to teaching to the next generation are very much less intelligent than the average person accessing university. Isn't that fascinating? Like, they are the lowest of the lows. Wow. It's like they are almost as stupider than the average college acceptance, than the physicists are cleverer than the average. See, there's the average. The physicists are up there. The educators are down here. That is sad. Big Tech Exodus says, this is actually very sad. Go away says, I'm a teacher, JF, so shut the fuck up. Well, go away. Your anecdotal status does not matter to me. I keep thinking the same thing. All right, so a follow-up on the Elon Musk situation. Keith Woods is continuing his grinding of the mind of Elon Musk to the idea of an ADL ban on Twitter. It seems Elon is not so warm, but at least he's interacting and developing plans against the ADL. Elon Musk confirms the ADL almost put X out of business with their advertiser boycott. As soon as Elon took over X/Twitter, the mere promise of free speech was enough for the ADL to warn the platform was on death watch. Whatever happens to Twitter, new social platforms need to center trust and safety from the outset or risk being subjected to the same fate. In the meantime, Elon Musk has put Twitter on death watch. It didn't have to be this way. And so that definitely qualifies under a violation of the TOS. The TOS says you cannot attack the financial viability of Twitter, of X. Elon Musk says our U.S. advertising revenue is still down 60%, primarily due to pressure on the advertisers by the ADL. That's what the advertisers tell us. So they almost succeeded at killing X/Twitter. And Elon Musk, and this is the cocked problem. You cannot be more cocked than your enemy. And every time the enemy gets an occasion at giving you a dishonest or a vicious hit, he gets to you. And then on your side, you decide to act honorably at all times and never use dirty tricks against them. That is the problem. It's what Elon Musk says right here. Despite the immense harm ADL has done to X/Twitter, they still will not be banned in this platform unless they break the law. You need to, you know, it's more than breaking the law. They have attacked your financial viability and you wrote it in your TOS. You wrote it to ban people like me. This is what's so frustrating about Elon. You wrote it to ban people like me. It was written there by your bureaucrats so that you can say one day, if I put you in so much trouble, you're going to ban me. I know the business, and I'm not so shocked that you have to include this in the TOS. What really shocks me is that you're not applying this TOS fairly. That is really frustrating. Because if I was to do something on my account that makes you lose, Elon Musk, $22 billion, you can be sure you'd be using those TOS against me. You can be sure I'd be contesting this in court, and you'd say, hey, you'd say to the judge, look, Papa JF has signed an acceptance of the TOS, and here in the TOS it says, we can ban you for financial viability purposes. And if I had done anything that would make you lose $22 billion, I would understand that you're using that rule to justify my ban. But the problem is Elon can't. despite the... So he says there was immense harm. They still will not be banned on this platform unless they break the law. It's not the current state of your TOS, by the way, Elon, that law breaking is the standard to be banned. You still have TOS against hate speech. Hate speech isn't illegal in the US. You still have TOS against all sorts of things that are legal in the US, like spamming and misinformation. Although misinformation, they did remove it. But there's a couple of rules that are totally legal things to do in the US, but you still ban people for it. So Elon doesn't even have an understanding of what leads to a ban on his own platform. Keith Woods was informing him here today. The ADL clearly violated X terms of service by using the platform to try and destroy its financial viability. Put it to a poll and let's see what X users think. Vox Populi, Vox Dei, hashtag ban the ADL. So when they were doing these calls to advertisers, they were violating the rules. They were violating the rules in a way that if I was doing it, I could lose my account. But the ADL can't, and that's my problem. Dino Legovic sends a super chat. He says, don't ban DinoJF. I don't have intentions to ban you. I don't know why you think this. TOS are useless if they are never enforced. We, the fair users of X, go out of our way to respect the TOS. On the other hand, dishonest players like the ADL blatantly violate them with no consequences. Time for Elon Musk to choose if the rules only apply to the right on X. I'd like these rules to be shown to be enforced, and arguably, there will never be a case in the history of X of anyone being able to do anything that makes you lose $22 billion, Elon. So arguably, if you don't apply this TOS here, you can never apply it. And arguably, you should delete this line from your TOS if you're not going to ever use it. Because I can't imagine anyone hurting you stronger than what the ADL has done. They've attacked 60% of one of your massive income stream. One of the most important ones. So what's the point of keeping a line in the TOS that you won't apply in the most extreme violation of it? What's the point? end of the line, Joel says, Keith is talking live to Mario Nafal on X now, but stay on JF for now, guys. Yes, I'll be going to watch it after. I did see that it was who Keith Woods and our friend, I don't know what name he goes by now. What's his name? Our friend... I think Lucas Gage. I think he changed his name at some point. So yes, I'm happy that they are on Nafal, and I'll go watch it at the end of today's show. Fauci admits that masks don't work for the public at large, but still absurdly claims masks work on an individual basis. More subterfuge, says Rand Paul.
Brett Stevens in The Times talked about Cochrane. Put that on the screen. The most rigorous and comprehensive analysis of scientific studies conducted on the efficacy of masks for reducing the spread of respiratory illness, including COVID-19, was published last month. Its conclusions, said Tom Jefferson, the Oxford epidemiologist who is the lead author, were unambiguous. There is just no evidence that they, masks, make any difference, he told the journalist Mayan Damasi, full stop. But wait, hold on. What about the N95 masks as opposed to the lower quality surgical or cloth masks? Makes no difference. None of it, he said. Well, what about the studies that initially persuaded policymakers to impose mask mandates? They were convinced by non-randomized studies, flawed observational studies. How do we get beyond that finding of that particular review.
Yeah, but there are other studies, Michael, that show at an individual level for individual. When you're talking about the effect on the epidemic or the pandemic as a whole, the data are less strong.
Brett Stevens.
If you have an effect on individuals, you must have demonstrated this on a series of individuals. A series of individuals is a community. So it's like normally if you have a phenomenon that happens a little bit, it should be even more detectable as you observe it more and more onto greater numbers. So if we have no evidence that we can that we can make it such that a community is less infected by COVID with the mask, then we should assume that the mask does nothing. The problem with individual studies is, you can heavily control the individual in a very controlled setup of some kind, or in a setup where they are coached a lot, and perhaps you will be impacting other things in their life by this form of control. Like if you tell an individual, okay, and you, for 1 hour you coach him about how to wear masks and everything, that individual might actually change other behaviors of them when during the study. And these other behaviors might actually be what helps them not catch COVID. And the other guy who's in your control group, you're not coaching him to wear the mask because he doesn't have to wear a mask. And so and perhaps because he doesn't have that coaching session, his brain is less obsessed about the idea of transmission. And the problem being, when you come into the real world, you're not coaching people one by one. You're not controlling the experimental setup very well. When you come into the real world, it's really public health authorities are throwing these pamphlets, and whether they have the same effect as the coaching in the study, you'll never know. So you find yourself with a study making an artificial case that something can be obtained, and yet you can't reproduce this case on a large basis in the real world. Elon Musk speculating on having to clear the platform's name on the matter of anti-Semitism. It looks like we have no choice but to file a defamation lawsuit to clear our platform's name against the Anti-Defamation League. Oh, the irony. He's pointing to the irony of a defamation lawsuit against the Anti-Defamation League. Well, yeah, it's an irony at the word level, but the Anti-Defamation League hasn't been touching on the question of defamation for a long time. They are very much a political fighting tool for a certain ideology to survive in our world that is really using the worst possible means and methods to force this ideology onto people through threats and extortion. ALX was discussing about the amount for the lawsuit. He says, wouldn't be the first time the Defamation League would be found to have defamed people. A judge finds the ADL $10.5 million in Colorado defamation suit. Elon Musk responded, interesting. In our case, they would potentially be on the hook for destroying half the value of the company, so roughly $22 billion. Well, I would love Elon Musk to take that road. Unfortunately, Elon Musk is kind of a loose cannon on certain things. And then when he sets for real to do something, he does it relatively well. But sometimes Elon Musk throws these ideas on his Twitter account and there's 50% chance that he'll ever actually try to do it. Retailers' revenge. Hobby's jewelry thief gets whipped, then stripped. This is a new trend of immigrants running certain shops. And unlike the white people who could be running these shops, the immigrants, they have more of a tradition around beating people with long sticks. Like, even as a white person, you know, there are certain situations where I could slash you with a chainsaw. There are certain situations where I could totally knock you out with a baseball bat. And there are certain situations where a good check with a hockey stick is the kind of etiquette of the white person as a northern white person. But I don't see myself hitting someone with a long stick. A long stick that mostly slaps. See, this is something that's not part of my culture. But we're seeing a rise in cases as America gets more diversified. We're seeing more of the slapping action as a kind of punitive symbol for a transgression, in this case, trying to steal jewelry. All right, so yes, it's more punitive and less damaging, as pointed out by Stray's channel. Yeah, I think, and it's a very exotic thing to do this. You see these people in Ukraine getting slapped, being put naked and attached to a public place, and they get slapped by the whole of the community. Humiliation, pain, but not so much damage that is permanent. Interesting. I guess that when you're in America, you should expect a police and a legal system to be there to do the punishment. So I guess you need to be in a special place of your civilization for this kind of punitive behavior to evolve more stably. Someone was asking about tortious interference. Mark was asking, what about tortious interference? Is a common law economic tort that occurs when one party intentionally damages another party's contractual or business relationships with the intent of causing economic harm. Yes, it's an interesting avenue, but the question is, what will be the tort? Because in tortious interference, it's not enough to show that a change of the business state has been achieved. If it has been achieved through communication of the truth, it's not torsion and tortious interference. So if, for example, the ADL was to, and that would be a valid defense against tortious interference, the ADL could come to the court and say, no, we merely stated the truth about Elon Musk, which is that we believe he is anti-Semitic and that his platform is anti-Semitic. Now, if they have based this truth assessment on anything that can be rationally kind of, not that it will convince you, but if it can be rationally extrapolated that, okay, they base their opinion on this fact and that fact and that fact. Like it could be a single user of the platform that has said something anti-Semitic, and they could say that that is what we based it on. The problem is that would be a valid enough basis to form this belief that Twitter is anti-Semitic. So tortious interference requires that there would have to be a tort that has been done, and a tort would have to be some malicious action that involve a component of threat, of fraud, of deception, or of an illegal move of some kind. For example, if the ADL was going out there and was succeeding at convincing the advertisers to pull out, but it would be true threats. If Elon Musk could pull out these letters that were sent by the ADL to companies and show, hey, there's an extortionist component to this, then you'd totally have a case of tortious interference. If there can be an extortionist component to, and we know that some of the ADL letters have literally the definition of a veiled threat. It's like, we wouldn't want your company to be associated with anti-Semitism. This could have severe financial consequences onto you. And if you show this to a jury and you can say, hey, jury, this is a veiled threat. This is them saying I'm going to lose money if I don't do what they want me to do. Then definitely tortious interference is an interesting direction. Biden is not worried about major UAW strike on automakers. I'm not worried about a strike. I don't think it's going to happen. Okay. Record profits mean record contracts, while big execs have used those extreme profits to pump up their pay, our members have fallen further and further behind. Unions are trying to demand more money for their employees. I don't know how it will turn. Rudy Lacid says, JF, Twitter has all the internal DMs that the ADL sent using Twitter, as well as Jonathan Greenblatt's internal messages. Pretty sure Elon could use them in court. There could be an argument that it's a violation of privacy and that they would have first to request the judge exposes these DMs as being fair for discovery. Then Elon could use his own copy of these messages if he wanted to bring them to court. Yes. Round two of a foreign-backed plot to fragment Syria. Oh, I'm very sad to learn that there's still a dirty play by America in Syria. Leave this country alone. It's such a stain on the CV of Trump. Trump has totally done what Israel was demanding of him on the front of Syria. It's like, leave this country alone. They have the right to develop. You don't own them. You don't control them. Why don't you stop funding all these? And apparently there are so many revolutionary groups in Syria funded by the U.S. that recently there's been a fight initiated between the groups, between two groups funded by the U.S. This is typical U.S. geopolitics, typical Judeo-American Jewish politics, in the sense of the alliance between Israel and America, controlling the two sides and at some point controlling so many sides that even the sides that you control end up at odds with each other. Threatening to once again ignite the conflict in the country despite years of relative calm, economy's woes today underpin the public grievances expressed on the street, the much-heralded May 2023 reinstatement of Syria in the Arab League has thus far failed to deliver any significant political or economic relief for the beleaguered Levantine state. A renewed U.S. initiative to partition and weaken Syria is gaining traction as Washington strives relentlessly to undermine Damascus' centrality as a pivotal regional state and geopolitical player. So that's what the American Empire does. Fund a couple of groups, tells this group, you're going to be fighting to get this section of Syria. This group, you're going to be fighting to take this section. And the goal is fragmentation, loss of power on the side of the central government against which they are fighting. Chicago Teachers Union president, hater of private schools, and school choice reportedly sends child to private school. This is a case of displayed preferences. You can say all you want, but what you ultimately matter is what you choose. And these people, they know very well that their children are in better hands at these private institutions. She sends one of her kids to Chicago's De La Salle Institute, a private Catholic high school. She is at the forefront of its campaign to kill Illinois' meager Invest in Kids Act, which currently gives about 9,000 disadvantaged kids scholarships to attend private school. It must be game over for the program, the CTU says. So she is fighting against a program that just sends a couple of lucky children to private school, but her child, she wants him to be lucky. And finally, as a last news item for tonight, Zuckerberg's Twitter killer app struggles for traction. The initial signs for Threads were extremely encouraging. The platform, nearly a carbon copy of Twitter, now known as X, pulled in a staggering 100 million signups in less than 5 days. Forbes senior contributor John Kotsur outlined how Twitter had imploded under the leadership of Elon Musk and cited the instant credibility and simplicity of Threads as an alternative. An analysis of Android users, digital data and analytics company, estimated that daily active users peaked at 49.3 million. Fell to 10.3 million after a month, a drop of nearly 80%. Some celebrities who joined the platform before it was available to the public, such as Jennifer Lopez and Tom Brady, haven't posted at all since launch week. Mr. Beast, the YouTube star who was the first user to reach 1 million followers on Threads, stopped posting about a month ago. Well, you know, with Mr. Beast and all of his employees and his money, you know that if he can't find even himself the time to have someone post at least copies of his Twitter there, you know it's dead, because Mr. Beast has plenty of money to ensure full coverage of all of his platforms, and he's very much into this being everywhere on the internet type of thing. So if Mr. Beast can't post there, someone like me certainly can't. It's a dead platform. You have counted on a bunch of celebrities, on a bunch of people who were frustrated against X, but people who were deeply uninteresting. And I said it on the first day of this crap enterprise that Threads is. Your problem is ultimately going to be that you are attracting people who are just too stupid to be entertaining enough over a weekly schedule. Like, because being entertaining once in your life is something pretty much everyone can be. But being entertaining 24/7 in the crazy news cycle that we're in, it demands more and more IQ as you go faster and faster into the cycle. And you reach the point where these low IQ normies on Threads that move there, that hate Elon, they hate Elon and they hate X because they don't like to think, because they're just too stupid. But the fact that they're too stupid makes them incapable to have a constant rhythm of interest in what they generate about the world in their IDs. So yes, it was bound to fail. Your promotional center of your platform cannot be that, hey, here we're friendly. Are you fucking kidding me? We're friendly.